Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
This is a good lesson in this too shall pass, because it feels like the astronomer CEO and the HR exec, it feels like that scandal where they were caught at the Coldplay concert canoodling, allegedly cheating on their partners, that was the biggest story of the day, and I forgot about them. Until I saw an article on TMZ that showed that the HR exec, Kristen Cabot, her soon-to-be ex-husband, is speaking out about the state of their relationship, because if you missed this story somehow, they were caught on a kiss cam at the Coldplay concert, and you know, the CEO had his arms wrapped around the HR exec and they were getting real cozy. And then when the kiss cam got on them, they scattered like roaches in the night. Like you turned on the light and they were like, ah, we gotta get out of here. And they had to resign. It was a whole thing. But apparently the HR exec's husband has come out and said that they're actually separated. So when all that went down at the Coldplay concert, that's when she finally filed for divorce, but they had been separated at that point. So he's like, y'all got to stop speculating because our relationship had been long gone by that point. But I still think it makes the whole, like, if you guys were separated and it wasn't a big deal, then why make a big deal about it when the camera hits you?
Because it's her boss. And because he was still in a relationship. And so she's the other woman and she knows that. So yeah, does it make it less worse because she also wasn't cheating on her husband? A little bit, but it's still very scandalous. And I'm sure they have replayed that moment. And I bet other people could, I would love to know this. Like, what moment do you replay in your head over and over and over again, wishing you would have had a different reaction or wishing that you would have reacted in a different way? Because I'm sure looking at that, they wish they would have played it cool. But she knows that she's, you know, messing with the boss. Mm-hmm. The boss is with another woman, so.
And nobody else probably at that point knows that they're separated also. Mm. So your knee-jerk reaction is, oh my God, nobody knows about this yet, right?
That's a good point. Okay, apparently the Sphere in Las Vegas is making more money off of movies than they are off of concerts. Now, if you've never seen videos of the Sphere before, it's this pretty new venue out in Las Vegas where instead of it being like an open-air stadium, it's entirely covered by a massive screen. It's basically like a big IMAX movie theater. So when you go to see like the Backstreet Boys who are just there, it makes you feel like you're immersed in this world that they're creating while they're performing or whatever. But the Las Vegas Sphere has come out and said that they've been doing presentations of The Wizard of Oz, and they've been earning approximately about $2 million daily. The tickets are priced around $200 each, and they're saying that this is positioning them to generate about $1 billion in total revenue.
Isn't that crazy, man? This is like the one tourist attraction that has really brought me. I want to see this thing so badly.
I do too. And I saw some people watching Wizard of Oz, and they were filming inside of it, which I'm sure you're probably not supposed to do, but it was the tornado scene.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were in a tornado. Like just the way
Is that where we see those flying monkeys for the first time and freaks you out when you're a little kid?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. From that. And then I found it so crazy too, because it's so immersive. So Backstreet Boys, like you said, were just there doing a residency. And apparently Brian Littrell is afraid of heights. So when they're performing on stage, even though like you're on stage, because of the way it look and you feel like you're like wherever you are, he has like these bars he can hold on stage because of his fear of
really?
Heights. Yes, because somebody else posted a video of that. And I'm like, but he's on stage. But then you look around you and I'm like, oh, but it doesn't, because this
it's
virtual reality, and it's so realistic the way the screen is making you feel like you are inside whatever universe they created. I'm like, he has like these little, like the bars that you hold when you're on a float so you don't fall off, even though I did do that once. he had little bars to hold on to.
Yeah, I don't care who's playing there. If and when I ever get back to Vegas, it could be Rebecca Black. And I would go there. Although I don't think she'd be playing that place. I want to see a concert there really badly.
I do think Friday would hit pretty hard in the Las Vegas Sphere.
It's the Burt Show.
So every now and then, these extreme diets come out. And when people get on them, you're like, what? Wasn't there like the all cabbage diet for a while?
Oh, I remember that one had to have stunk and made people have to rip the worst farts.
Hurt so bad. There was like a lemon juice one for a while there. I can't specifically remember most of them, but
there's the Mediterranean diet. There was the Atkins diet. There's like...
Well, some of those are healthy and they're okay. It's these extreme ones.
Well, but it's like there's always seems to be a fad diet at some point where everybody's jumping on that whatever that diet bandwagon is. Because right now, whenever you go on, at least in my algorithm, and obviously because I'm a woman of a certain age in my 40s, protein is now like what everybody is talking about. And it's like everything is made from cottage cheese.
Right.
I'm like, double chocolate chip cookies made from cottage cheese cannot taste good. I'm sorry, not sorry. Like it's just, it's humanly impossible.
Then of course you have the people that are fasting all the time now. Like, I haven't eaten anything in 48 days and I've lost 7 pounds, you guys. Seems extreme. Seems really extreme.
What's the one where where people, you have to go at least like 8 or 10 hours without eating?
Is that what
intermittent fasting?
Yeah,
uh-huh. Which apparently is okay for men, but it's not okay for women because of our.
We never studied the female body.
Yes.
And here's the thing about these diets. Also, they become so popular, and then on Monday you go on the diet. Then Tuesday, all these doctors are like, "Do not go on the diet that you just went on Monday. It doesn't work." Right. So Katie's got a friend here that's going through this very thing right now,
and I'm trying to talk her out of it because just about everything that you all have listed, she has done. Mm. Like, she's tried every single diet. And she's not the only friend in my life who's tried a diet. A best friend of mine, he's tried a potato diet where he only would eat potatoes. Uh-huh. He would like a whole potato, and he would like probably like boil it or something like that and just eat potatoes for like a week.
Girl, that's my diet. It's called French fries.
And so like with my friend, she, whenever she feels like it's time for her to lose weight or something like that, she just goes on a diet kick and she'll try whatever it is. It started off with fasting, like the normal ones that I feel like that's common. Mm. And then she did try the cabbage stew one, and it was just cabbage soup for a week.
Oh, my God. Her house must have reeked.
I hope she doesn't have roommates.
No, she doesn't, good. Thankfully. And she'll stick to a diet, though. She won't give up on it. And if it works for her, she'll be like, okay, cool. I've completed my goal. Then she would do the literal French fries, not the potatoes like my other friends. She would actually, every time we would go out to eat, instead of getting a meal or something like that, she'll do French fries and wine.
Well, this is like a really good point also. It's a lot of times you go on these diets and they're so extreme. You're eating potatoes for 30 days, right? And then you go off it and your body's like, oh, time to eat again. You put the weight right back on. They don't work.
Exactly. And that's what I've always tried to tell her. But for her, she's like, well, it works for my short-term goal. So for whatever diet she tries, it short-term, it works for her, and she's satisfied with that.
Like, I'm going on a vacation.
Yeah.
I just need 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then she'll go back to probably eating, like, normal meals for a few months. And then after a few months, she'll be like, nope, I don't like my body. Another diet. Mm. Right? And so right now,
it's got to be wreaking havoc on our insides also.
I would think so.
I mean, if you're on these diets, all these different diets all the time, that ain't not good for you.
Mm-mm. So right now, she's been on TikTok looking for the latest cottage cheese diet.
Oh my God, people are putting cottage cheese in everything.
My girlfriend won't leave me alone about the cottage cheese thing. And I'm just,
I am a cottage cheese apologist. It is very good if you put it in a pasta sauce. It makes it nice and creamy.
It has its place. And any kind of dessert? No, thank
Absolutely
you.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And they are whipping it into everything.
Straight to jail.
I can't stand it. Well, as she was scrolling through TikTok, she saw the newest trend. And it's the watermelon diet.
What's this one now?
You just eat watermelon for a week. That's your only meal. Like, guess. Well, watermelon.
You're going to lose weight because you're not putting any calories in your body whatsoever. And with watermelon, you'll stay hydrated, but... I mean, it's a lack of calories. You can do that with anything.
Starvation diet is what that should be called.
And so I'm like, this has to be one of the most unhealthier diet because what does watermelon supply you with? If that's all you're eating, like your body has to be weak at some point. You're trying to go to the gym when you've only had a few pieces of watermelon.
Well, right.
You're trying to survive a whole day. And I'm like, girl, this is insane. You cannot do this. She's like, look, the people have been losing 20 pounds.
The people.
Of course they have.
Who are the people?
It's on TikTok. There's a whole bunch of people who are swearing by it. Oh, I tried the watermelon diet. I did this. So I've been trying to talk her out of it, but she is so headstrong on doing the watermelon diet. So I'm like, all right. if you're so focused on doing this and just ruining your health, why don't you try to incorporate maybe like one meal and then like watermelon as a snack? Like, I'm trying to figure out a way to say, this is very dangerous for you. You shouldn't do it.
This doesn't
but
have to be,
I'm trying to support you.
Yeah, this doesn't have to be the watermelon. I mean, she could do that with any food at all. It could be peas. It could be carrots.
Cantaloupe.
It could be anything because...
Cottage cheese.
It's just a lot.
It's a cottage cheese.
I'm sorry for interrupting you. I don't know how you're supportive on a diet like that.
You're not. You don't.
You can't. You can't be.
No, but I would tell my friend, I'd be like, I can't be supportive of this. Like that's like, you know, that's not even a hard truth. That's just the truth. Right. Like, this is not healthy. You're not getting the nutrients you need for your body to survive. This is a quick fix. And be like, if you want to do this and you want to get a quick fix, fine, but I'm not going to support you while you do it because I think it's stupid.
Yeah. What happened to good old-fashioned Ozempic?
Right. You know?
Right. Let's go back to the olden days.
Right.
Yeah, if I'm in your position and my friend is coming to me saying, yeah, I'm only eating watermelon for the next 7 days to drop 7 pounds, there's no way I can get behind it. Like, what I know about diets and the human body, that's only going to cause more damage, and it's just going to make her go in this cycle of constantly trying to lose the last 10 pounds.
I found a list of the 25 worst diets.
Okay, let's go.
And some of these I have never even heard of. So there's the werewolf diet. So maybe you can offer up some of these as an alternative to the watermelon. Yes, this is a real thing. The werewolf diet limits how you eat based on the cycles of the moon, such as fasting with juice for 24 hours during a full moon and not eating past 6 p.m. during other moon phases.
That should be called the furry diet. Like, you gotta wear a tail and everything.
Then there's the five bite diet. So this was created by a Californian internist.
Of course.
Shocker. You skip breakfast and then only eat 5 bites of your meal at lunch and 5 bites of your meal at dinner.
I would find a way to cheat that. I'd just be like, suddenly it's gone in 5 bites.
The biggest bites.
And of course, that's going to work because you're only putting like 200 calories in your body all day long.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about the apple cider vinegar diet.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they say Megan Fox was all about it. Don't know if that is true or not. The weight loss effects of a poor appetite after ingestion are probably due to nausea and stomach aches from the acidity of the vinegar. There's tea toxins on here. The Whole 30, but this is on the list. I think Whole 30 was supposedly like half decent. Now, didn't you do Whole 30?
I did. I loved it. It's an anti-inflammatory diet, and you're supposed to stop after 30 days. So it's really to target inflammation and reset your body.
There's the celery juice diet, which sounds delish. That is also supposed to reduce inflammation, but I couldn't imagine just functioning. There's the grapefruit diet.
Oh.
So it's a 12-day plan that restricts your calories to about 1,000 per day.
And it's just of grapefruit?
That involves eating grapefruit with every meal. So it's not just grapefruit. The cabbage soup diet is on here. The Master Cleanse. All right, that was the one that everybody was talking about where you take the water and the lemon, and then you also put a little bit of hot sauce in there or something like that.
What?
Do you remember that? The baby food diet. The baby food diet calls for eating 10 to 15 jars of baby food for breakfast and lunch.
I mean, have you seen those babies? They're so skinny. Every time I see my cousin's new child, I'm like, go away.
Look at those abs.
What do people think happens when you chew food in your mouth? It becomes baby food. It mashes it up. Right? That's normal food. It's just been pre-chewed.
Those are the worst of them.
Yeah, I think there's nothing you can do. I mean, if she's got in this cycle of just doing these diets over and over and over again, there's nothing you can do as a friend. Sometimes you just got to be like, sit on the sidelines.
No, there is something you can do. You cannot be supportive, right? Yeah. Like, you cannot offer her up slices of watermelon. You don't have to be like, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. But also, I think it's okay. If it's a real friend, you should be able to tell your real friend, this is a bad idea and I'm not going to support this. You, like, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to be happy for you about it.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, Cassie, this wasn't on the schedule here, and it's very different than what we're talking about with Katie here, but are you prepared to talk about Ozempic?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah, let's go for it.
I've been thinking about doing Ozempic, and it's something I've held out on, and I think it's a wonderful, wonderful drug for so many people when it's diagnosed, you know, prescribed by a doctor, and it's helped a lot of people, but it's also, I think, I feel been abused, especially by Hollywood, and what I mean by abused is taken for the wrong reasons, really just for vanity's sake rather than for an actual medical weight loss sake.
Yeah, all we have to do is look in the producing studio, and I always use Rebecca as our shining example of when her doctor tells her that she's pre-diabetic and she should get on Ozempic. There is no such thing as pre-diabetic. Pre-diabetic means your sugar levels are great.
Yeah, and you know, I think sometimes doctors try and put stuff in terms that we would understand, like, hey, maybe you're like, you know, maybe you're not pre-diabetic. Maybe that's the way you're entering the caution zone. Just give it to a straight man. Yeah. So I booked an appointment after doing, like, you know, I say research. It's not like I'm conducting the studies, but I do think you can go online to credible sources and do your own research and learn stuff. And so I booked an appointment because I wanted to know more. And so my doctor and I talked about it. And there's apparently like 10 years of research with semaglutides and 5 with this. She wanted to put me on Zepbound. And I wanted to be very careful because I told her, I was like, this is not a decision I make lightly. Looking at my file, everything you know about me with my, I have polycystic ovarian syndrome, which means like there are metabolic issues, harder for me to lose weight. Do you think I'm a good candidate? And she's like, yes, I feel very comfortable prescribing this. It's helped so many patients. This is a good route for you if you want to take it. And so I went home and talked to my husband and I was like, I can't shake the feeling that it feels like a cop out for me, because when I hear other people taking it, I'm like, yes, do what you need to do for your health. But for me, because I just haven't been able to like hit the gym on a regular basis mm-hmm. the way I would want to and really focus on trying to do things, I don't want to say the natural way because I feel like there's a stigma around that. And I'm really not trying to stigmatize anyone who's using a GLP-1. But I feel like I haven't put in the effort to do it the natural way. And although I do know that I have problems losing weight even when I do. And so I'm afraid it feels like a cop-out and a Band-Aid almost to a bigger problem. And that's why I haven't gotten on it yet.
All right. So you have a credible source, i.e. your doctor, recommending this for you, right?
That's an oxymoron sometimes, but continue.
Well, you trust your medical professional.
I do.
Implicitly,
yes.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Like, so, because you and I do our research when it comes to who our medical providers are. And like, I trust Dr. Hurley implicitly. And so I'm sure you trust your general practitioner. So it totally makes sense, everything you're saying, because you're looking at your life and you're like, I can do more in these areas if I really wanted to lose weight, whether it's I could carve out more time for the gym. You can look at what you're eating and be like, you know, I can do X, Y, Z here. But I'm wondering if by taking this, that will be the push you need to step up in those other areas. And that'll be the catalyst to get you on this, you know, in your health era, and then you'll be able to lose weight both ways.
Yeah, and I think you're right, because whenever I do start something, I like to go all in and not in a crazy, like, unsustainable way. I think my thing is, my schedule is just so stupid right now. Sometimes it's like 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. I don't have an hour or two where I can go to the gym, and I want to. Like, I want to go to the gym. I want to cook more healthy. I just don't have the time. So when I'm looking at my life, I'm like, what changes can I make to my health? And I don't have time. Well, GLP-1s, that would slot in there nicely. That's something I can do. But it feels like a shortcut I shouldn't be taking if I can't dedicate the time and energy to doing it properly.
So here's my problem with these is that at some point or another, you have to get off of them, right? You can't be on them your entire life, although even that's debatable now. So my problem with this is, so yes, you don't have the time right now. I know your lifestyle. I know you. You're a person that's never going to have time. Your schedule isn't going to change, because even if you could roll back some, you're going to fill it with something that makes you feel productive.
And so, I'm begging you to make you a priority.
Yeah.
Let me just finish real quick.
I love going to the gym now, though.
Yeah. Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Which is fine, but here's my problem with it, or my concern, I should say, is that at some point or another, you have to get off of them. And if you don't make the time and you're doing the same things then that you're doing now, the weight comes right back on and puts you right in the same spot.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. And that would be one of my concerns as well. And that's why, like, going into it, is it a Band-Aid? Should I do it knowing that I don't have any consistency in my schedule in order to be able to do things like the gym? The food I can do, but like the gym or the health walks. And people are like, you know, just do this, do that. I'm telling you, like, I've slotted it in every way I can. Just right now, is the timing's not working. So I've said that for the last 40 years.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I think it's going to be like that for the next 40 years also.
So, yeah, that's my question then. If I know that's how my life is, it's just chaos right now and I don't have time to carve that stuff out, do I go ahead and take a solution that's been offered to me that could achieve those health goals? Because I'm coming at it from a health angle, but knowing that there may be a more natural, it's so hard picking my words right now because I really don't want anyone to feel bad, but a more unmedicated way to reach that goal that I could do, but I can't. It feels like cheating the system because I haven't tried in all the ways that everyone else has tried to lose weight before getting on.
I think it's also important to look at the medication as any other medication that other people take. When you're hardwired, when your body is hardwired to act in a certain way. So I've had the same struggle with anti-anxiety medication or antidepressants. I've never gotten on them before. And I think one of the reasons I've never gotten on them is because I think, well, I should be able to handle it in an X, Y, and Z way. I should just go to I should actually pay for therapy, or I should be able to do this and handle this on my own. Whereas maybe the reality is I'm hardwired to be somebody who is incredibly anxious, or somebody who finds that very, very difficult to handle that on my own. Whereas if I have the resources to be able to make my life a little bit easier, maybe just by popping a pill, I've had a hard time with seeing that as a crutch. But at the same time, like, I know so many people in my life who have been helped by those medications. So maybe your body is hardwired in a certain way to where a GLP-1 could act in the same way that an antidepressant could.
I want to take a call from Maggie here also. And I also want to say this, my concern in doing research on these also is that we just don't know what the long-term effects are yet. So it could be a quick fix right now. We just don't know in 10 or 15 years what it's the effect it's going to have on our bodies. Hey, Maggie, good morning.
Morning. Cassie, I just want to say do it. That's my recommendation. I am a mom of two, and I hit the obese category. I hit pre-diabetes, and my doctor just looked at me and was like, you need to exercise and lose weight, which, you know, they always say. And I was like, how am I supposed to do that? Full-time job, two kids. I'm on anti-anxiety as well, but, I've lost 40 pounds on it, and I scheduled an appointment with an endocrinologist who is specifically, they specifically study PCOS, and she said it's done wonders for people on PCOS.
Oh, hey, would you feel comfortable emailing me the name of that doctor? I totally understand if you don't.
Oh, no, I'd totally be comfortable emailing that to you.
Thank you.
If you want that information. But I made sure, because, you know, women's health, I made sure to, I did that so that I could create a plan to get off of it in the end. But it's made it to where, you know, before I couldn't eat anything without gaining weight.
And now you feel like you have more control over your life because of it?
I don't like you guys referring to yourselves as POS.
PCOS. I think something like 1% of the population has it, but it's undiagnosed.
And I'm about to make it worse, and I'm sorry.
No, do it.
You have a big birthday coming up, right?
I do.
It's only going to get more difficult to lose weight when you get into your 40s.
Yeah, and you know, I want to just address this too. Like, I've had conversations with my doctor, and I'll be honest, like, I'm a big champion of body neutrality now. It used to be positivity, but yeah. You know, I've heard Kristen talk about just being neutral about your body, and I love that. This is really not about the weight loss for me. It's about being told, like, yo, you need to do something or you're going to go on cholesterol meds for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And I take it, that is something I need to take seriously. And I've tried, and everyone knows this. You can try and try, but you always, I'm going to start working out Monday. You roll your ankle. It just happens that way. And so I'm like, do I sit here and struggle bus and keep trying to do the same thing that's not working over and over? Or do I take the out that I have offered to me?
I don't think it's an out. I think you need to change your mindset.
This is
The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, at first, Big Adventure was a company, you guys would be the shareholders. So we try to keep you guys up to date with what's going on with the quote-unquote company, even though it's a family. And we've got a Burt's Big Adventure kid that's ringing the bell today.
I know. I'm so excited for Chance, who you got to have a lovely steak dinner with, didn't you?
That's his comfort food. Whenever he was feeling really, really bad, his go-to was always steak. So, yeah, we sat down one night and had an amazing steak.
From Chef Kevin Gillespie.
Yeah. Yes.
So, yeah, Chance is going to be at the hospital today, ringing the bell, signifying the end of treatment.
That's great news. Really great news. All right, so tell us about the scam on your trip.
Oh, my God. I really thought I was getting scammed by the one tour that I decided to organize on my big girls trip to Crete that we just went on last week. And I already miss it. I don't want to go back. Oh, there's nothing worse than waking up at 5 a.m. and being like, I was just eating tzatziki on a beach 3 days ago. But anyway, I organized this big girls trip. This is my second year doing it. Last year, we went to Ireland. And I do it through this tour group that basically just like helps big groups do these big trips where you can take 25 people and, you know, they handle all the things like the tours and the transportation and some of the meals, and it just kind of streamlines everything. And, you know, they're really great about picking great tours. But there was one day where I was like, you know, I know some of the girls that are coming on this trip, and I know there's one day they're going to want a freaking party. So I started going to Google, and I was like, let me find us a beach club for us to go and hang out at and have a good time at. Like, I know that's something that they're going to want to do one day. And so I go to Google, find the top beach club in the city called Tanya. And I'm like, this will be the perfect day for us to go. We have a couple of hours. We'll lay out on the beach. We'll drink champagne. It'll be amazing. So I go to the website, submit my request, and I'm like, hey, I have 15 girls that want to come out, blah, blah, blah. Tell me what I need to do to make this reservation. And I get an email back from not the email I had sent it to. So let's say it was beachclub@gmail.com. I got an email back from like reservationsforbeachclub@gmail.com. And I'm like, that's not the email that I sent it to. And I'm like, this is a little suspicious. And because it was months in advance, I was like, oh my God, like, am I about to get scammed? Like, what's happening? Like, they're giving me, you know, the list and of how much it's going to cost. And honestly, I thought it was a pretty good deal. So I'm like, this is too good to be true. But they're saying they need a 50% deposit for these 15 girls. And I'm like, okay, let me sit on it. Let me like look at the Trustpilot reviews and see if everything's okay. Couldn't find anything online about the reservation system. Just a lot of really great TripAdvisor reviews. And so I'm like, okay, well, let me try and send another email in like a month. And let me see if, you know, when they're in season, I get an email back from the one that I sent it to. So I go back to beachclub@gmail.com and I go, hey, I have 15 girls. I need a cabana, 6 sun chairs, blah, 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 blah. Let me know. And then I get an email back. Again, the same sketchy email that wasn't the one I sent it to. And I'm like, okay, at this point, I'm just going to have to put the deposit down. So I ask, what's the scenario for me putting down my money? Like, what do I have to do? Do I have to give you a credit card? And they go, well, you have to wire us 50% of the money. They have to do a wire transfer for 15%. And I immediately go, this is suspicious. Because over in the States, we don't do wiring money unless you're like Anna Delvey.
Right.
And you're trying to like, you know, spend thousands and thousands of dollars on a hotel that you can't afford. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, I promised everyone we can go to this beach club. I know they really want to do it, and it's a lot of money. So like, maybe I'll just put my credit card down I'll put my money down and it'll be fine. Like if I get scammed out of the money, it'll just be my fault. So I do one more thing. I call up my friend whose family is from Crete and I ask her like, is this normal? Like, is wiring a thing over there? And she goes, yeah, I know people who have been to the club. Wiring is pretty mainstream over in Greece, but I don't know anybody that's wired money specifically to the speech club. And I go, okay, that doesn't make me feel better.
So I end up going through like all of these crazy steps to make sure that I'm not about to get like my entire bank account stolen. So I open up a new bank account.
No, you did not.
I opened up a new bank account, Kristen, specifically for this freaking beach club.
Are we talking about thousands of dollars here?
We're talking probably about $2,000.
Oh, God.
So I open up a new bank account. I transfer about 50% from my bank account into this new bank account. And then I go through like Wise.com, which is like one of those, you know, wiring money transfer things where they don't give your bank account to whoever you're sending it to. And then I very reluctantly send them like $1,000. And I'm like, oh my God, I hope we don't get a scam. I hope we don't get scammed by this company. And so we're showing up in Greece and everyone's talking about the day they're most excited for. And they're like, oh my God, like it'll be so fun. Like to go to that beach club. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, it's going to be so fun when we go to the beach club. And so finally we show up, it's like day six and we've all had a really good time at this point. And we've Ubered 20 minutes outside of the city center to this beach club. And I'm showing up and I'm like, I literally have no idea if we're going to get into this club or not. And I just go up to the front desk and I go, reservation for 16 for Murphy. And the guy doesn't even look at a list. And he goes, yeah, come with me. And I'm like, thank God. Oh my God. I'm not about to lose this $1,000 because I was just going to eat the cash. I was like, you know what? I've got us into this predicament. Everyone's in Greece because of me. It'll be fine. And the whole time we're sitting at the cabana, I'm like, okay, but they didn't ask for a credit card. How am I supposed to pay for the rest of this? And thank God they just took my credit card and it was fine. But there was a good, like for the last couple months, I really thought I was about to lose out on $1,000.
I can see you catastrophizing even now.
Oh my God. It's just crazy. I was like, how am I supposed to just, this is not normal, wiring money to this random beach club. And it was just status quo.
Yeah. I have found when it comes to traveling, you really got to follow your gut.
Uh-huh.
Like your head wants to lie because you want to have a great time. You want to make sure everybody's having a great time. Your gut doesn't lie though.
I was willing to do whatever it took to get a little drunk on a beach to Pitbull. So I was willing to take that risk.
It's the Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.